Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The month-long Africa Cup of Nations football tournament will have its climax on Friday night at the Cairo International Stadium in the Egyptian capital. That's where the Desert Foxes of Algeria will play the Lions of Taronga of Senegal for the trophy. The Algerians are bidding for their second African title, while the Senegalese are going for their first. Our VOA football fans will remember this is a rematch of a group game on June 27th in Cairo. The Algerians won that match 1-0 on a 49th-minute goal by Youssef Belaili. On Wednesday, Nigeria beat Tunisia 1-0 in the third-place game at the Africa Cup of Nations. The Super Eagles of Nigeria got an early goal from Odion Ighalo, the tournament's leading scorer. Ighalo scored from close range in the third minute when he took advantage of a mix-up in the Tunisian defense at Al Salam Stadium in Cairo. It was his fifth goal at Egypt 2019. On Thursday in Cairo, FIFA President Gianni Infantino spoke to the Confederation of African Football's General Assembly, and he rejected comments that World Football's governing body has taken a colonialist attitude towards African football.
And we've been working together in the last 3 years, and we have turned around all together, FIFA, with FADMA. So what more can we do at FIFA than sending our top administrator with a team of experts to Africa to help? What more can we do? Tell me. I've been hearing about colonialization, that FIFA is colonializing Africa again, this bad FIFA. When Fatma Samoura was appointed Secretary General of FIFA, I didn't hear the opposite. I didn't hear that Africa is colonializing FIFA. What does it mean, colonialization? I don't know. It's not part of my vocabulary.
Gianni Infantino's comments in Cairo come after FIFA last month took the unprecedented move of announcing it would jointly administer African football with CAF and would send its Senegalese Secretary General Fatma Samoura on a temporary duty assignment to overhaul the African body. FIFA's move followed corruption allegations against CAF President Ahmad Ahmad, which he has denied. Some African football officials have opposed the move by FIFA, while former FIFA president Sepp Blatter described it as a new aspect of colonialism. The 83-year-old Blatter has been banned from football for 6 years for ethics violations during his presidency. CAF President Ahmad Ahmad spoke in French Thursday to the CAF General Assembly. He said it was his decision to ask for FIFA's help. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino fighter Manny Pacquiao will challenge World Boxing Association super welterweight champion Keith Thurman of the United States on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining us now with a preview is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The two men held a Wednesday news conference ahead of this weekend's bout that is set to take place at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Keith Thurman is the undefeated welterweight champion, and Saturday's fight will be one of the biggest of his career. But Thurman says the big stage doesn't intimidate him. and neither does his formidable opponent.
I'm not here to hug Manny Pacquiao. I'm not here to pat him on the back. You know, I'm here to fight him. And so for me, it just puts me in the fight mode when I let him know he ain't going to do nothing. With them little T-Rex arms, he's about to get, you know, beat up. I get to punch a senator in the face. You know, he's going to feel it. And if he's upset about it, you know, he can do something about a Saturday night. It's called swing, 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 baby.
For his part, Manny Pacquiao appeared to be unfazed by Thurman's bravado and being compared to a prehistoric dinosaur.
Well, it's easy to say, but I don't know if it's easy to do it in the ring. You know me, I've been this sport more than two decades, so my experience will prove it.
At 40, Manny Pacquiao is boxing's only 8-division world champion and is one of the sport's most decorated fighters. He holds a record of 61 victories, 7 losses, 2 draws, and 39 knockouts. Keith Thurman is 10 years his junior and is the undefeated super welterweight champion with 29 wins, 22 via knockout. Thurman is considered one of the hardest punchers in the welterweight division, and he says if you want to place your bets on Saturday's match, bet on him.
We're going for the overall victory, and then we're going for first round knockout, second round knockout, and then lucky number 7 round knockout, you know? At the end of the day, it's a sport, you know, I'm a winner in life, but to bet on myself for the opening rounds, it makes me do what I said earlier, which is swing, 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 you know? I mean, you gotta swing to hit a home run, you know? You can't just sit there and pump fake all day. So I just want to open up. I like to encourage myself. And, you know, in boxing, man, we really don't have a knockout bonus, man. You know, if one time Thurman gets a first round knockout, somebody's got to pay me. So at least the MGM Grand can pay me, you know.
Well, it's unknown how much that payment will be, but Pacquiao will reportedly earn $20 million for challenging his unbeaten opponent. The upcoming welterweight world title bout will mark the 71st professional fight for the Pac-Man. He's known to throw hundreds, if not thousands, of punches in a match and is part of an elite group of boxers with the quickest hands in the sport. It's reported that his workout regime could rival that of an athlete half his age, and Pacquiao says he is ready to take on Keith Thurman.
What I can see in my training camp, we did a lot. We did our best in training. I believe we are ready, 100% condition, physically, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. And I'm sure my opponent work hard, train hard for Saturday. So I expecting a good fight. Like you said, toe-to-toe on Saturday would be good.
Well, the stage is set for the two men to go toe-to-toe in a battle for Thurman's world welterweight title. The match will take place on Saturday at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. And that's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More boxing news. Friends, family, and fans will gather Saturday for a public viewing for Hall of Fame fighter Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker, who died July 14th when he was struck and killed by a vehicle in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Whitaker was 55 years old. The public viewing will take place at Norfolk Scope Arena in Whitaker's home city of Norfolk, Virginia. Sweet Pea Whitaker was a southpaw, and he's regarded as one of the greatest defensive boxers of all time. He won world titles in 4 weight classes, and from 1993 to 1997, The Ring magazine ranked him as the best active boxer in the world, pound for pound. Before turning professional, Sweet Pea Whitaker won a gold medal in the lightweight category at the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. As a youngster, Whitaker was known to friends and family as Pete, And when he began to emerge as a top amateur boxer, fans in his hometown of Norfolk used to serenade him with chants of "Sweet Pete." This was misinterpreted by a local sports writer as "Sweet Pea." And when an erroneous report came out in the local newspaper, the new nickname stuck. Rest in peace, boxing champion Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker. In African athletics, the second annual Ferrangers Ultra is scheduled to begin September 18th in Kenya. The grueling running event will cover five stages and a total of 230 kilometers. Organizers describe it as a life-changing challenge in the home of long-distance running. To find out more about the Ferrangers Ultra, the energetic Andy Edwards talked with an endurance athlete nicknamed Ultra Pete. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to their conversation. Here's Andy.
I'm sitting in a North London cafe, in fact, it's my regular haunt for breakfast, with someone whom, and he laughs when I say, I think of him as Ultra Pete. His full name is Pete Ryan, who's a British sports trainer. That's what he does for a living, his day job, locally in North London. But he has a very interesting career so far as an ultra runner, does all sorts of races which I might find crazy as a what I call more regular runner. But in particular interest for us, in the summer, he did the inaugural Nairobi Ultra Marathon. Quite an event, 5 days, and well, that's one of the things we're going to be talking to Pete about. So, Pete, why did you go to Kenya to run? Okay, it's the first one, ultra running, but you say it's over 230 kilometers, 5 days. Kilometers. What motivated you to do that? Because most people would think, what on earth are you doing?
I suppose I'm obsessed with pushing myself to the limit in whatever it is I do. So the wonderful thing about ultra runs is you will eventually reach a point in which you really have to dig deep to go further on. Now, you can't get a better environment than through some of the conservancies in Kenya. The wildlife you come across, the conservation that you're raising money for, the anti-poaching, it's just a beautiful, beautiful run, and I couldn't say no to the challenge.
I know from talking to you that wildlife, conservation, you've done ultra races all over the world. That's a very important factor for you. So what was special about the Kenya Ultra?
So I've done runs before in Peru through the Amazon, through the Namibian desert as well. And the company that organizes all of these runs, they reached out to me and said, look, Pete, we're thinking of doing a run here in Kenya to raise money for this. How would you fancy it? And again, as I say, that to me is just like ticking every box, animals, beautiful terrain, and raising money for that fan. I couldn't say no to that. So that was the inspiration there.
And what animals in particular were you raising money for, or was it just Kenyan wildlife in general?
So the race itself is done by a company called Beyond the Ultimate, and it's in partnership with Save the Rhino. So the main thing is Rhino Conservancy out there, but at the same time it's raising money for the rangers themselves to buy clothes, food, and things like that. Rather than just the anti-poaching, it's actually focusing on the rangers who give up their lives for that.
Interesting to talk about rangers, because I remember interviewing a Kenyan elite runner, and he'd done well in a marathon I was covering several years ago. I think it was maybe Prague Marathon. And it turned out he had a day job, and he said, I'm a wildlife ranger and trained by British Army, as it happened. And he was combining being, you know, a top-class runner running something like 2:10 for the marathon, but he was doing his full service as a ranger, including night sentry duty and everything, and going out into what I would call the bush and making sure the poachers weren't active.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what was happening here. So as we were running along, the route was constantly being manned by the rangers themselves. So in the daytime, half were looking after the runners, and then of a night time, the half that were looking after us would then go about their duties of the night. You know, it was amazing to see. You could see it happening all as you were going on.
Where did the race, Nairobi Ultra, start? And was it a loop course? You say 5 days, 230K. Just give us a picture of what you took in as the route.
We started off in one of the conservancies. I'm just trying to find the name of it now. We start in the Lua Wildlife Conservancy. And we finished on the equator line in Old Pajeta Conservancy. And through that, we ran through five different conservancies as well. So we saw different sorts of terrain, animals. We saw everything. It was incredible.
Oh, that's interesting. So five different conservancies and you're seeing different animals. So just give us a little kind of word picture of what animals you saw. I mean, everybody thinks, well, Africa, there's a lot of them about.
So on day one, you were running along. As soon as we started off running, we were round by a zebra, running around everywhere. There was on one of the days that I actually ran through a herd of zebra, giraffe everywhere, rhinos, elephants. There were lions in the distance as well, to which we were told to keep well back from. Hyenas, everything you can think of and more. It was just everything was there. And you got so close to these animals that you just couldn't experience in any other way. A safari, you're in a car, you're in a safe thing. Here, you are exposed to it all. And that was the exciting part of the adventure.
Were there any dangerous moments? You talk about lions, tigers, etc.
There could have been, but it was so well organized and so well manned by the rangers. They knew where all the animals were. A few slipped through every now and then, but we had helicopters and planes flying overhead to keep a track on where everything was. But the potential is there, but it was so well handled.
You've done other ultras, and in talking beforehand, you said you've been an ultra runner actually only for 3 years, and you're 32, obviously a fit guy because you're a sports trainer, that's your work. Where else have you raced, and was there always a connection with wildlife conservation in your choice of venue?
So the first run that I trained for was for another ultra, but that was in Peru, and that was in the Amazon jungle there. Now again, you're talking animals, you've got animals everywhere around you. So that was the big highlight for me. I've always been an animal boy. I'm obsessed with animals. My arms are covered in tattoos of animals. So that's a real trigger point for me. So that was the real biting point for me. It was the potential of seeing going to the Amazon and everything there. And that's always been the selling point for me.
What about your other ultra, your fellow ultra runners? How big or small was the field? Because that's it's not something. It's not like doing a 10K road race. You know, 232 kilometers, 5 days. I presume you've got to have really special preparation just to get through it.
To be honest, it's more. Don't get me wrong, there comes the physical element of being able to do it, but I believe everyone can do it. I think the ultra running actually comes down to more of a mental game, because it's really is just a point of every single step forward is going to get you closer to the end. And that's the thing that I love about this, is that there's people there of all different shapes and sizes and heights and weights, that it eventually must come down to one point, which is the mental capacity to carry yourself through. Because as I say, everyone reaches a point on these runs where you do break down, where your fitness level isn't there, your body can't keep up, but yet you still carry on. That's the addictive part of this. So all the people that I know that do these runs, we all have something in common, and it's that ability to push ourselves mentally and just carry on and carry on and carry on.
That's really fascinating. Well, Pete Ryan, Ultra Pete, as I may call you, we look forward to hearing, I presume, this may not be the last time you do an ultra in Africa. You got plans for more?
I would easily go back to Kenya and do the same run again, but I've got plans now to do two more ultras, one more in the Arctic Circle, and then another one in Japan. So another 2 5-dayers.
Well, I think I need to lie down for that. Pete Ryan, thank you very much for talking to us. Fascinating insight into the Nairobi Ultra Marathon, the first one, and there's more to come. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with endurance athlete Ultra Pete Ryan. In this programming note, energetic Andy says he'll be filing some preview material on Friday's show ahead of this weekend's Muller Games and IAAF Diamond League meet in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Joining us now with an update on first-round action at the British Open Golf Tournament is Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It's day one at the British Open at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, and we already have some drama. Shane Lowry is the current clubhouse leader at 4 under par. Lowry, who hails from Ireland, is affectionately known by golf fans by his nickname Beef and currently stands at number 33 in the world. He's followed in the standings by 29-year-old South African Dylan Fratelli, who's in a logjam at 3 under par. Fratelli earned his first PGA Tour victory last week at the John Deere Classic. Also hanging at 3 under par are top Spaniards Sergio Garcia and John Rahm. South Africa is making a very strong showing at the British Open so far. Two-time British Open champion Ernie Els, as well as 2010 champion Louis Oosthuizen, are both near the top of the leaderboard, as are Justin Harding, Xander Lombard, and Eric Van Rooyen and Brandon Grace. So that's 7 South Africans, all within 4 strokes of the leader. Now, a couple of top golfers are not doing so well. That includes Phil Mickelson, who's at 5 over par, and Tiger Woods, who is still on the course but is struggling. And worst of all, tournament favorite and Northern Ireland home favorite Rory McIlroy is near the bottom of the leaderboard. He's at 8 over par. Now, he came into this tournament with the best betting odds to win it all, but right now he's in grave danger of missing the cut.
Ryan, you mentioned Dylan Fratelli, the South African. He won the John Deere Classic on Sunday right here in the USA. So he travels to Northern Ireland, and he's keeping up his form, it seems like.
Yeah, momentum is very big on the PGA Tour. So a golfer that can keep it up and carry it through a major has a good chance to pick up his first major title, even when he came into the tournament fairly unheralded.
We'll see if any of those South Africans can stay up top and maybe win that claret jug in Northern Ireland. The British Open second round action will be played on Friday. And that wraps up the July 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Between 1946 and 1958, as the Cold War between the United States and the former Soviet Union was heating up, the U.S. detonated 67 nuclear weapons on several islands and atolls that are part of the Marshall Islands in the Central Pacific Ocean. People who had been living in the detonation areas were relocated to other parts of the Marshall Islands. A new study led by scientists at Columbia University in New York suggests that remaining radiation levels in some parts of the Marshall Islands are much higher than in areas that were affected by the Chernobyl and Fukushima nuclear disasters. To make their findings, the researchers measured radioactive levels in soil samples, ocean sediment, and a variety of fruit that were gathered near the blast sites. The study authors say the radioactive areas must be thoroughly cleaned before humans can relocate there. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm